For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above.
I had no idea that something that starts in August and ends in December could actually feel so short. Welcome to All New, All Different, All of the Above. New version of the old scene. Coming to you from the comfy gray couch in the beautiful rented condo in semi-peaceful Plano, Texas. My name is Hank. Hey, how you doing? You can find me on Instagram at Hank Told You So or at Hank How You Doing. You can send anything you want to me via email, alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com. And I have no shame. Feel free to Venmo me, the only Henry Thorpe. Picture of me at Griffith Observatory, by the way. So here we are. It's just a few short days after Christmas. Actual Christmas, not Christmas season. They are a very different thing. And I just wanted to check in on everybody. Ask how your holiday season went. How was your holiday weekend? It means such different things to different people. If you're a parent, there's probably some amount of relief that whatever toys or gifts you were trying to buy have been purchased, wrapped, and unwrapped, and your kid is now, much like that scene in A Christmas Story, your kid is passed out in a pile of gifts. If you're a business owner, hopefully whatever business you're in is now in the black because of holiday season, because of heightened consumerism. If you're a restaurant employee, hopefully you saw that nice influx over the last couple weeks of the college kids coming home and people coming back out to eat. If you're single or freshly out of a relationship, maybe you're looking at your bank account and saying, oh, I still have money. And if you suffered loss this year, I hope you were comforted by those around you that do care and recognize that you were hurting. There's a little bit of everything here. And I mean, I'll just go ahead and say it. I mean, if you're experiencing homelessness and yet you have active internet and you're listening to me, I hope you're able to find a little bit of solace and peace in a food bank or a shelter of some sort. Listen, man, there is somebody listening to this show that's saying, well, gee, Hank, why don't you talk to all the people? Why don't you talk to the poor people? Why don't you talk to the... Hey, you know what? I'm here for everybody at some point or another. But as a person who does not have kids, Christmas is very... And as a person who isn't much of a decorator, it's a very strange thing to me. And okay, I'm also a person who loves seasons. I am a person who, by the way, because I live in North Texas, I don't have any. But I very badly miss four seasons. And if there's one thing I do miss is the kind of the nostalgia that winter brings and kind of ushers in the idea of Christmas. It's a very weird mental bend when you live in somewhere like North Texas where on Christmas Day it was 79 degrees and there was no thought of snow whatsoever unless I wanted to look on TV and see somebody else's town. But when you get down to how things can feel like Christmas, cooler weather would definitely be part of it. I imagine there is a... So here I am, by the way. I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little low on sleep today. I have guidelines that I'm looking at. They're just here to my right on my iPad. And I'll get to those in just a second. I have some stuff I am gonna for sure talk about when it comes to Christmas. But here I am also just kind of musing musing just a little bit, just on the season in general. It's wild to me that it's such a gigantic holiday that starts so early into the fall or even late into the summer, and yet when the day hits, it blows right by. It was crazy. Think about this. Thanksgiving, end of November. Halloween, end of October. But think about when you start seeing Christmas decorations being sold in stores. When it comes to a place like Target, yeah, sure, you don't see as many, but you go to a place like Michael's or Hobby Lobby where they sell craft and they sell decorations. I imagine you start seeing that stuff towards the end of August. And I know this one for a fact. Some stores you go into, before Halloween's even done, you start hearing "All I Want for Christmas Is You" from Mariah Carey. And like I said earlier, if you're a parent shopping for a child, if you're a Christmas consumer in general, I am not, but if you're a person who's buying gifts for people, you probably start a lot earlier. You probably feel the pressure or you feel the spirit, whichever one it is, a lot earlier. But my fiance and I are not, we don't do presents for each other. We're currently paying for a wedding. When you're paying for a wedding, that kind of takes precedent over everything. And there's not really a lot of money left over to just give each other a new pair of slippers. And that's okay. But when you're not doing the shopping and the buying and the consuming for the sake of gift giving, the day kind of actually blows by real fast, especially as an adult with a job. I remember when I was a kid, elementary school, high school, all of that. I remember it took so long to get there. It took so long to get to Christmas. You just kept thinking about that day, thinking about that time off, thinking about that break. And there was so much anticipation. And it's crazy, as an adult, you are working. You are working and you are working and you are working. And then, like, you hit a wall and you're just like, oh, it's Christmas Eve. I have the day off. And then Christmas Day hits and it blows right by. And by the way, my day was quite peaceful. Fiance and I put together our contribution to the day. She did one of her classically beautiful meat and cheese boards. And I did my normal bit of chop vegetables and give opinions where they are asked, and then wrap it in plastic and then carry it. Those are my duties. She handles the attractive food. I handle the grunt work that leads up to the attractive food. But it was me and fiance and sister and her family, husband and daughter, and mom. So you could fit everybody at one table. Which, by the way, that's about right for me. That doesn't overwhelm me and my awful anxiety of being around too many people. My social battery stays pretty even keeled the whole time. I remember being a kid and dreading the drive to my grandmother's house because my uncle's kids and my aunt's kids, it was a convergence. Each had my mother, my uncle, and my aunt each had three kids. And so this is not a big family by any stretch, but just we squeezed everybody into the house, into my grandmother's house. It was two floors, and there was no escape. As an adult, I realize that I am a person that requires a social recharge. I'm just too introverted to feed off of the energy of people in a constant state. I have to recharge. And you don't realize that when you're a little kid. When you're 11 years old, you don't realize that. Okay, now in 2021, in the it's okay to not be okay age, there is a lot more self-awareness going on, or at least a lot more push for it. But then, I feel as if there was probably adults in the other room looking at me from afar and just saying, he's a little funny, isn't he? He seems a little bit touched. I don't know if that phrase has carried over into 2021, but older folks used to look at kids who seemed a little on edge and say, he seems a little bit touched. That's probably what people thought of me at the time, not knowing that I was just a guy who needed to recharge and just kind of escape for a minute. But my Christmas was quite peaceful. Now, leading up to it was kind of a whirlwind of work and more work. And that's pretty common for most of us adults. But what it didn't have was the shopping. Okay, there was a little teeny tiny bit of shopping. I had like 2 hours worth of shopping for my niece. My fiance and I don't give gifts to each other, but my 14-year-old niece, yeah, she's gonna get presents. I'm not made of stone. But that's really pretty much right what I would want it to be. Just a peaceful day, a day that is a little bit of your escape from work. Think as little about work or genuine outside world as possible. Just sit, relax. Don't worry about the 2 or 3 pounds you're going to put on. Just let go for a day. So as we're sitting here chatting, last week at time of recording, we're sitting at a Christmas pop-up bar. So, like I said, the Christmas season starts a lot earlier than Christmas itself. And along with the business of ugly sweater selling and ugly sweater parties, We have now come to see Christmas pop-ups, which, by the way, some of the proceeds go to charity, so I have nothing bad to say about that. But have you been to one of these where it's an opportunistic bar that's just kind of an open, generic place you go, but they decide for like 2 weeks out of the year, they let this traveling Christmas pop-up, or any type of pop-up, they basically flood the place with decorations and recipes and specialty food menus, and you just basically Instagram the crap out of yourself. So we went to one of those, and as we were sitting there having sipping cocktails out of Santa mugs and drinking cranberry this and eggnog that, my fiance decides she wants to have kind of an all-inclusive conversation. There's six of us at the table, and the conversations are starting to splinter, as they tend to do when there's more than four people at a table. Conversations start to splinter. You'll kind of get like these two dudes over here talking about grilling techniques, or these two ladies over here talking about their last yoga session, or these two guys across the table are talking about how they both grew up in the country and they know what it's like to swim in the creek naked, or some randomness. My fiance makes an all-inclusive question to say, all right, everybody, what's your favorite Christmas gift you ever got? And you've known me well enough to know that I don't just blurt out an answer, because 15 minutes after I blurt out that answer, I'm going to think of three better answers that I could have said. So, of course, when it was my turn, I deferred, hoping somebody else would answer. But I actually thought about three Christmases in particular. Actually, maybe four. One of them was probably the most anticipated favorite gift I ever got. And I'll tell you that one first. So, I think I'm in the ninth grade at this point. And so this is right around 1993, 1994. And the Starter brand is the biggest thing in sports memorabilia. Starter hats, starter shirts, starter coats. Probably about half of my closet was Starter. Whether it was Knicks, Devils, Yankees, Giants, Starter. Just Starter out the yang. And that year, Starter featured this three-toned coat where it was your team's logo on the back, and then it was their primary colors on the sleeve. Gaudy as all get out. But it was how you marked your brand, how you, you know, showed your fandom. And I wanted that coat really, really bad. And my mother knew how badly I wanted that coat. And so Mom usually would do one or two feature gifts, and they'd be in different wrapping paper. And so when it came time to open the feature gift, I open up this box, and the box is for a digital drum set. It's a medium sized box according to Amazon, and it's basically something you would put on top of your coffee table. And I open up the box, and I open up the wrapping paper, and there's the box, and I just put the box down. It's nothing that I wanted. I was like, oh, a digital drum set. Okay. Well, I guess. I mean, I was a drummer from elementary school all the way through high school. So, I mean, in my head, I was like, well, yeah, I play the drums, but okay. So I put the box down, watched everybody else open presents, didn't think much about it. And Mom said, what'd you get? I said, oh, a drum set. She says, did you open the box? I said, no. She says, why don't you open the box? Turns on the video camera. Because once again, we don't have cell phones. turns on the video camera, and I open up the box, and there's the coat. And I would be willing to guess I put that coat on probably immediately after I opened the box and probably didn't take it off for the next 2 hours. And then probably begged Mom to do laundry so that I could wear the coat immediately. And I remember first day back from Christmas break in high school. Of course, your first day back from Christmas break, when elementary school, high school, whatever, the first thing you're doing is showing off your favorite gift if it was some article of clothing or some accessory. And both me and Chad Piernos got a starter coat of our team. He was Jets, I am Giants. And so, and I remember somebody looking at the both of us just like, ooh, it's on! I don't know what the hell was on. He was a Jets fan, I was a Giants fan, whatever trash talking was going to happen, whatever, who knows. That was probably my favorite just straight up consumer gift that I've ever gotten. Now I will talk about one of the most personally, mentally pivotal Christmases I've ever had. I think about this a lot, and you can kind of categorize this in the you don't know until you know, or you don't know, or you don't know. Or, okay, here we go. This is one of those times where I learned perspective. I remember. If there's one thing I really appreciate from my parents is that they never told me, because it wasn't my business, they never told me how much money we had or what they made. It's not, to me at least, it's not the responsibility of a child to know what your parents make. A kid should just be a kid. In a perfect world, a kid should purely be concerned with being happy and being safe and being a good student and learning how to be a good human being. In a perfect world, a child shouldn't worry about where their next meal is coming from. Or is money tight? Like, kids shouldn't have to worry about that. Do their parents love them? Like, there's things a kid shouldn't worry about. And the only knock I will ever say, and it's not a knock, my father, may he rest in peace, my father would occasionally make passive-aggressive comments about me not appreciating what we had because he grew up so poor. And my mother would usually just kind of shoo him away and tell him to stop saying such words. But there was probably a time or two just for me, for my sake, I needed to be slapped down a little bit. Not because I was arrogant, but because I just was naive. And here's one of those times where it did happen. I remember I was on the phone with my cousin. He's 2 years younger than me. And we were talking back and forth about Christmas. It was Christmas Day. And we're just talking back and forth about Christmas. Just, hey, what'd you get? And I was like, oh, I got this on Super Nintendo, and I got this coat, and I got this t-shirt and this and that and whatever. Okay. And I was like, hey, what'd you get? So, and he was just like, oh, I got this and I got this and I got this. And I'm probably 12 or 13. And he tells me what he got. And I just said, that's it? Now, some of you are probably kind of hanging your head and saying, "Ugh, what's wrong with you?" Now, this wasn't me being the Jones and asking him to keep up. That was me just ignorantly and naively saying, "Oh, that's all you got for Christmas? Oh." What I didn't know, and something I have learned over and over and over again, is perspective. Not knowing. So, not everyone makes the same amount of money. Or, not everyone gives the same amount, if they have the same amount of money or not. And as my years rolled on, there were moments where my naive nature or my ignorance or just absolute not knowing, they're sort of the same, they would catch up to me. And that was one of those moments where I just gained a lot of perspective. And part of it is because my mother was sitting in the room and she said, "Hank, you can't say that." And I didn't think anything of it at the time. It was one of those, what did I say? So, okay, this one's a little more comedic, and I'm just going to bring it up real quick. So I'm 5 years old, and I'm sitting, sitting on the floor, the little entryway between the living room and the kitchen / dining room at my old house where I grew up. I'm sitting right across from another five-year-old little girl that my mother used to babysit, and this is far before puberty, so this is not body odor, it's just the house she lived in and the clothes she was wearing. But I just remember I was sitting there and she was sitting across from me, and we were reasonably close, and my mother and my sister are sitting at the dinner table, and it's a quiet room, and I just remember I don't know if the clothes she had on were in mothballs or I have no idea. I just remember saying, "You smell." And my mother and my sister sprung around and said, "What did you say?" Yet another moment where I learned perspective to say that those kind of things are not something you say instantaneously. You must think before you speak. So, that Christmas that I said, "That's it?" to my cousin, that was one of those moments that I have thought of a lot in my life. A lot, a lot, a lot. Just to remind, if nothing else, the absolute reminder that there is not equality in the world, whether it's financial or opportunity or whatever the heck you want to talk about. And I didn't know that at the time. I just thought everybody grew up the same way. I mean, I just never thought about it. But then I started to kind of really understand. Or at least understand a little bit better than I did when I said it. Then another Christmas that kind of that pops into my head. I'm not gonna tell you that one, because that one is way harder to explain. Yeah, no, I'm not going to tell you that one. But I will tell you this one. So far, I've told you my favorite, the highest anticipation and best gift. This is, by the way, taking away every video game system. Every video game system I ever asked for, that I wanted, that I got, I was over the moon. And I was a Nintendo kid. I got an NES, I got a Game Boy, I got a Super Nintendo. Those gifts kind of don't count, because that's a whole other thing. But that Giants coat, that was and I'm imagining these videos don't exist anymore, just because video cameras Eh. I couldn't even replicate the sound I made when I pulled the coat out of the box. I just remember I was so happy to get that coat. That is probably definitely the best gift I can remember when it comes to just a gift I wanted. And then that Christmas where I said, that's it, to my cousin, that's where some of the most perspective has ever been given to me. Okay, yeah, what the hell, I'll tell you about this other one. I remember the Christmas of my 18th birthday. I had just turned 18, so this is 1997? Yeah, 1997. No, wait. No, it's 1996. And about to be 19... Wait. Whatever year I'm about... It's the year I'm going to graduate high school. Shut up. So it's December of the year I'm going to graduate high school. I graduated in 97. So yeah, we'll go ahead and say that it's December of 96. Math is hard. And I remember waking up and this song was playing. It was this really sad Dan Fogelberg song. And I have no idea why I listened to it all the way through. The song is really depressing, about a guy who meets up with this, who, like, it's a guy who runs into a girl I think he knew maybe from high school, and I think they drink in the parking lot as they catch up on old times. And the song is really sad. And I just remember listening to it, like, word for word in my bedroom before I went out to, like, be with mom and dad. And I just remember it was, like, really weird because the chorus is something to the effect of, we drank a toast to innocence, we drank a toast to now. We tried to fill the emptiness, but neither one knew how. And I just remember 18-year-old me got, like, really sad as I was listening to the song, and I was like, man, I'm about to be an adult. I'm gonna at some point, like, go to college and have to get a job and, like, pay for my own stuff. I'm gonna be responsible for myself. This sucks. I remember listening to that song on that Christmas morning and just being really sad. To this day, I don't know. I could count on two fingers the amount of times I've listened to that song all the way through since Christmas Day of 1996. And you know what? Maybe it's one of those moments. For the longest time, I thought I hated the song Man in the Mirror from Michael Jackson. But I didn't really hate the song because the song is actually pretty good. And a great message. Hey, man. Change starts with you. Look in the mirror, look at what needs to be changed. It's actually a pretty good song. But what I hated was, this is the Michael Jackson's Bad album. Michael Jackson's album entitled Bad came out, I'm going to say, in 1987, I think? 1988? And so I'm young at this point. I'm barely 10 years old. And the video for Man in the Mirror starts with starving children in Africa and a whole lot of other really depressing images. And I just remember, who knows what song came on before it? Probably something real up and peppy from Whitney Houston or Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine. The rhythm just got me, for God's sakes. And the next thing you know, you see crying, starving, bloated children in Africa. That video was such a downer and so depressing. And if you turn on, and as soon as this show is over, turn on Man in the Mirror and just listen to that, like, beginning sound and think about starving children in Africa. Yeah, your mood probably goes down the toilet too, doesn't it? But what I came to learn is that I didn't dislike the song. I just hated how sad the video was. And my
nostalgic mind thought about the connection between the two. So maybe if I were to listen to that Dan Fogelberg song, I believe it's called Auld Lang Syne, if I were to listen to it now, maybe it would just be a song. Maybe it would just be some clever piece of music that doesn't hold the same water. But I remember on my when I was just freshly turning 18, I had been 18 for just over a month. I had been driving for just over a year and was on the verge of going to college. I just remember listening to that song that morning and thinking, wow, my innocence is gone. I'm about to be an adult with responsibilities, and life is about to get heavier. So maybe, just maybe, out of respect to all of you, maybe I will just listen to that song from Dan Fogelberg over the next day or two and see if it still conjures up all the young, nostalgic thoughts of innocence lost, or if it's now, it's just a song that's like, oh, okay. I am one of those people that has very strong connection with music. I'm one of those people that a song and an instance connect, and it's very hard to break the bond. For a very long time, and this is me being an adult now, for the longest time, a girl I was dating, and I can only imagine I vented about this a time or two on All of the Above Radio, my previous show. A gal I dated, okay, we were off and on for 3 years. I don't know how much we ever dated, but we were off and on for 3 years. And I remember one of those nights we were on, we're having a great night, and I remember she said, we get in the car, and she says, I want to hear Madness by Muse. It's like, okay. Little did I know that that song was the song that she used to play as she was trying to give herself the strength to leave an abusive relationship. So she would listen to that song, and it would bring up all these nasty feelings. And I remember one night, this night, things were going really well. We get in my car, and she puts that song on, and she starts crying hard. And at the time, so we're getting ready to drive back to where I was living at the time, my mother's house. We're getting ready to drive back to my mother's house. It's a 25 minute drive. That's a lot of time for somebody to cry and then cry some more. So I just remember trying to save the night the best I could by stopping at this pizza place and getting some pizza for us to take back to my mom's. We ate that pizza and she passed out. So for a solid year to a year and a half, that song, Madness, from Muse, purely reminded me of the night that things were going really well and she started crying, ate pizza that I paid for, and passed out. And boy, did I hate that song, because all it made me think about was her crying and me failing. And then years went by. That relationship has since respectfully ended, and we actually, December of 2017, had a beer, had a really nice 2-3 hour conversation about life and loss and perspective. And I hope she is doing nothing but the greatest things. And now it's just a really stupid song. The song's not very good. Muse makes really good music. Madness is not one of those songs. So I ended up liking Man in the Mirror. I ended up at least seeing Madness for just a bad song, not a bad song with bad connection. So maybe I can listen to this Dan Fogelberg song and think, all right, it's just a corny effing song. It's not making me cry, making me think about loss of innocence anymore. So there was your bonus. So here's mean, I'm 43 years old now, so I've had a lot of Christmases. And my mother would probably chime in with a holiday that, or a gift that meant more. But this one I think about just the most emotional gift I ever got. And this is kind of predictable for anybody who has suffered a very large loss. My dad died in October of 2000. And so, Christmas of 2000, I'm a student at Eastern Michigan University, and I fly back to New Jersey to be with mom. It's just me and mom. So this is the first Christmas of my sister being married. So she's in Texas with her husband. And mom had not taken on any roommates yet. She eventually filled up the house that I grew up in with roommates. Eventually she did. But Christmas of 2000 was the first Christmas without dad. And it's just me and mom Christmas morning. And so we're giving each other stuff. And I took it upon myself, basically, that year, or that fall semester, I worked at Foot Locker while I was a student at Eastern Michigan. And I took it upon myself to put as much money as possible from Foot Locker into buying mom presents. Yeah, for some reason, it felt super important to me to buy mom the best things possible that Christmas. And I remember, this was a very big deal in 2000. Does anybody remember the 30-minute infomercials for the Bose Wave Radio, where they talked about the wave technology coming from the Bose sound system? Anyway, it was the CD clock radio from Bose. It was $500. I took it upon myself to buy that for my mother for Christmas of 2000. That's a lot of shoes, people. I sell them a lot of freaking shoes. It would have taken Al Bundy decades to do. But the most emotional present I ever got was that Christmas, 2000. So, like I told you earlier, mom used to wrap presents, the special presents, in a different wrapping paper. And so there's just this one present, special wrapping paper, and she hands it to me. And I open it up, and it was the CD case that was in dad's truck with a couple of random CDs, Miles Davis, Hugh Masekela, Chick Corea. Dad was very into jazz and smooth jazz. CD 101.9, for those of you who grew up in New York City, was playing all the time in dad's truck. And I remember, once again, this is just a few short months after dad had passed. And I I unwrapped it and opened it up. And the other thing you gotta remember is my father owned and ran a machine shop. So if you've ever known a machinist or somebody who worked in a tool and die or a machine shop, you know there's two smells that are indicative of those employees: smoke and hot metal. And when I worked for my dad for two summers, I ended up smelling like smoke and metal. It's hard to describe, but people that know what a machinist does or have worked in a machine shop, have ever worked on a milling machine or a CNC lathe, they're all like nodding their heads. They're like, oh yeah, smoke and metal. Absolutely know that smell. So opening up the CD case and smelling the smoke and metal that was so indicative of my father and the music on those CDs, of course, you know me well enough to know I absolutely lost it. And mom and I had a very, very serious, long embrace.
because we really missed him. When you talk about Christmases you'll never forget, those are four of them. The best gift, the Giants coat, most perspective, talking to my cousin, weird random one with musical connection, that stupid Dan Fogelberg song that I'm going to listen to for all of you, I'm going to listen to it. And then, of course, the first Christmas after I lost my father. I imagine all of you have some level of pivotal Christmas that you would love to share with me. So that would be alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com. If you know me personally, feel free to text me. I have people that do that too. And I appreciate you all. And while we're here, I'm going to lighten the mood just a teeny tiny bit. I do want to chat with you guys about my favorite Christmas songs. In general, I'm not the biggest Christmas song guy. I used to have a rule with my mother. Once again, I'm a guy who likes seasons. And Thanksgiving, I always thought it didn't get enough credit and didn't get enough due. And I was like, man, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. It's not even my birthday yet. And we're already playing Christmas music. My birthday is November 13th. We're already playing Christmas music. People, let me have my birthday. Let's have Thanksgiving. Too soon. So I used to have a deal with my mother. No Christmas music until after Thanksgiving. To which she honored, probably until I left for college, and then she went nuts. I am not nearly the Christmas music guy that a lot of other people are. And I'm actually not nearly, and I'm not at all the Christmas movie guy that other people are. If you put one on, I'm going to find one or two that are good. I had never seen Elf until 2020. I had never seen It's a Wonderful Life until 2019. I watched a lot of the quick hit Christmas movies of younger days, like Walt Disney Christmas and Charlie Brown Christmas. I watched as much of those, and the original animated How the Grinch Stole Christmas. You can throw those at me all freaking day. But Miracle on 34th Street, still haven't seen it. Love Actually, still never seen it. A lot of Christmas movies I have not had any interest in seeing. The Santa Claus, nope. Nightmare Before Christmas, nope. Just not my thing. Doesn't mean it can't be my thing, it just is not my thing. But Christmas music, at least I'm a little bit warmer to that than I am Christmas movies. So, let me... Excuse me. Let me find my Spotify playlist. Oh, crap. Sorry about that. Let's see here. Last year, I put together a Christmas playlist. It's only 2 hours long, so it's not really even... Like, basically, you could have a quick cocktail hour between football games or between watching A Christmas Story for the third time on TBS and then watching football. Something like that. Or something to have in the background while you're opening presents. But I remember a few weeks ago, I was talking with one of my coworkers about my favorite Christmas song. He's like, man, that's a pretty big statement. To which I almost wanted to say to him, well, I don't really listen to a lot of Christmas music, so it's actually pretty easy to figure out. But the greatest Christmas song for me is This Christmas from the late Donny Hathaway. That is my all-time favorite Christmas song because his voice was absolutely beautiful. My number two favorite Christmas song is Let It Snow from Boys to Men with Brian McKnight. And then, let's see, I'm going through my list. And really, oh, and you know what? My number three is the Peace on Earth Little Drummer Boy combo from Bing Crosby and David Bowie. And then I'm going to go ahead and put Someday at Christmas from Stevie Wonder in there. And then I think I'm going to go ahead and put, and this is absolutely, I understand this is not a great thing to do. Actually, you know what? I'm going to put Father Christmas from the Kinks in there. Maybe as my number five. And then Santa Claus Go Straight to the Ghetto from James Brown. Love it. Now I'm not naming them anymore. I'm not ranking them. The top two were really the only ones I cared about. I hate to do this, but Blue Christmas from Elvis Presley. I love that song. And the original You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. Boy, I sure do love that track too. I Can Hardly Wait Till Christmas by the OJs, another fantastic one. And then we break into full-on albums. A full album that I absolutely love is the New Edition Christmas album. That one is every level of nostalgic. That's one we used to play when the whole family got together. My brother, my sister, mom and dad and me. The New Edition Christmas album, that one was on repeat. So was the Jackson 5 Christmas album. So was Stevie Wonder. And you know what? It's not that I dislike Christmas music. I just dislike... How do I say this? I dislike the Christmas music that's more... classic to radio, air quotes. Give me some good Black Christmas music. Give me some soul in my Christmas, for God's sakes. As much as I respect Holly Jolly Christmas from Burl Ives, no thank you to anything else in his catalog. No, just no thank you. As much as I love The Little Drummer Boy, Peace on Earth with David Bowie, I could do without the rest of Bing Crosby's compilation. And I understand that that's what a lot of people's Christmas music sounds like, and that's absolutely fine. Not mine. So maybe it's not that I'm not into Christmas music, it's just that I'm not into milk-toasty Christmas music. Yep, said it. There I go. So I've given you lots and lots to think about in this chat we've had. Your favorite Christmas music, your favorite Christmas movies, which, by the way, of course, Die Hard is my favorite Christmas movie. Did you think I was gonna let that slip? Oh no, oh no. Did you think I was going to let that slip? So we've got lots to comment on. Do you think the Christmas season starts too early in the stores and in the malls? What was Christmas like for you? Is it crazy being a parent around Christmas time? Does it feel as fast to you as it did to me? All sorts of conversations we've just brought up here. So alltheaboveradio@gmail.com is how you chat with me. We will do this again soon. And soon after that. And soon after that. And soon after that. This has been all new, all different, all of the above. My name is Hank. May there be a next time. I say till next time.